Good morning. This is Mello with you on the Andy Griffin Show. Andy is out today with some stuff he had to take care of. And I am lucky enough to be here with the mayor of Ivins, Mayor Chris Hart. Good morning, Mayor. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Mello. Glad to be with you.
So happy you're here. So I don't know much about the city of Ivins. I do live in Santa Clara, but, you know, I know we're kind of sister cities is what you'd said. But I know that you've been the mayor for a long time. When did you first become mayor?
Almost 16 years ago, and before that I served on the city council and the planning commission before that, so my involvement in Ivins city government goes back well over 20 years.
Wow, that's so awesome. So can you maybe share with us what first inspired you to run for mayor?
Well, there was really no inspiration involved. The previous mayor had taken note of my service on the planning commission and city council, and approached me when he realized that he was not going to be able to run for a successive term.
Mm-hmm.
And suggested that I might consider it, and I did, and filed, and here I am.
Here you are. That's what happens when you say yes, right?
Yes.
When you volunteer for things, sometimes if you're good at it, which you've been really good at it, then you kind of get asked to keep going, right?
It's been a wonderful experience.
Okay, so looking back, because I understand you're not running for re-election, and there's already, who's going to be the next mayor, you were telling me?
Well, Kevin Smith, the CEO of Tuacon, is the only one who filed. So at this point in time, he's running unopposed. And mm-hmm. I think as of the 1st of September, there's no real option for a challenger. So I guess I'm pretty safe in saying that our next mayor is going to be Kevin Smith.
Okay. Well, looking back, because you can look back like almost 16 years now, what did you hope to accomplish when you first took office? Did you have a vision, or you were just kind of filling a need because you like to serve?
No, I mean, for me, it was love at first sight when I first drove into Ivins with our real estate broker to find property to develop. And it was such an astonishingly beautiful place. And when I moved my family there, we realized that it was more than good looks. It was wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic opportunity there, because it was only maybe a quarter to a third developed at that point in time. So not exactly a blank slate, but lots of things that were going to occur in the future. And with my development background, I thought that I might have something to offer there. When I first came to Ivins, shortly after I came to Ivins, the city hired its first city manager. Judy Gubler was her name, one wonderful, fantastic city manager. And the ordinances and so forth in the city really needed some work. The general plan needed to be redone, and she sort of led that whole thing. And so the vision, or at least the nucleus of the vision for the city, was established way back 20 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with some outstanding city councils and wonderful staff to try and implement that. Every few years, you know, a revision of the general plan takes place, where we've try and assess what our residents see for the future and what they value, you know, treasure that we should find ways to protect and so forth. And so it's kind of working our way down that list of things that will lead us to the future that we want. I would have to say that there was a long list of things that I thought needed to be accomplished in the city. Probably the most difficult of which was to achieve some kind of a commercial tax base, because
mm-hmm.
there's Ivins, you know, Santa Clara too a little bit, but exactly. Ivins out kind of at the end of the spoke of the wheel, right? So not really in a position either by population or location to attract much in the way of conventional commercial development. And so may surprise you, it's been probably 20 years ago, certainly within the time frame of my service as mayor, that we realized that resort type of development we had Tuakon and we had Red Mountain Resort there, right?
So yes, that's right.
We could it didn't take a crystal ball to realize that that might be where we ought to aim. And fortunately, over that period of time, we had a really unbelievable project or two, or three or four land in our laps, and so we're moving that direction.
That's amazing. So, as a mayor, like I don't know if you get surprised very often, but what was the biggest surprise for you as serving as mayor? Was there anything that was like, wow, that really happens? Or
I think what I didn't fully understand when I ran for the office is how important the mayor's position is outside of the community, serving on regional planning boards and interaction with the state legislature and so forth, because my city, your city, none of us are islands. We're all subsidiaries of the state and we're subject to state regulation and so forth. So and funding sources are hugely important. If you're not getting your entitled share of road funds and so forth, your community is suffering. And so I worked really hard, devoted myself to participating in those kinds of committees and commissions to make sure that Ivan's interests were being looked out for.
That's fantastic. So I would say that Ivan looks and feels a lot different than it did when you first came in, right? So what are you most proud of that has been shaping the city's growth and identity? Like, one thing I love when I drive into Ivan's is the art on the roundabouts. Like, I hate roundabouts, but you've made them look really pretty. So I don't get too mad about them, but they're so gorgeous. Like, the art that's just spinning. Even when you're going out towards Shibwitz, I don't know if that's either Santa Clara or Ivan's, but on that road, there's some of those ones that spin with the wind.
Yeah, that's our newest one.
Oh, I love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll slow down for the roundabout.
Well, there's no question that even before my time, Ivan's had maybe an image or branding, if you want to call it that, a problem. It's a wonderful place, and it has just an amazing history that I've studied and so appreciate. But it had developed, if you go back 50 years, a reputation for being a little bit the wrong side of the tracks, right? This is where you go if you can't afford to be anywhere else in the county. And so we had an image problem to try and correct. Once again, targeting potential commercial development more than anything else. You have to be something or look like something to attract that sort of sales tax revenue, sure, or transient room tax revenue and so forth. So that was always on my mind. You know, what worthwhile things can we do? I mean, first of all, we're blessed with this astonishingly beautiful backdrop, right?
I love that area
that people love. So how do we capitalize on that to develop the city in a really positive way? And what things do we need to do to set ourselves apart? And interestingly, before I became mayor, in fact, it was just as I came onto the city council, we essentially had no animal shelter. We had an old storage building that was serving as that. And Judy Gubler came to me and said, "We've got a problem. We need to get an animal shelter, a real official one. Would you help us with that?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be happy to." So, as a designer and builder, I took that project on and worked with city staff and the various subcontractors, and we built a wonderful facility for animal adoption and housing. And our city council at the time took the position that we should become what's called a no-kill animal shelter, only in a different way. I mean, actually by ordinance, not just by practice.
Yes.
So that was kind of the first feather in our cap. We realized that was important to a lot of people, not just in Ivan's. We've literally had people come from as far away as New Jersey to adopt an animal out of our shelter because that is our policy in practice.
Wow.
Interesting, huh?
That's awesome.
So then after that, and these some of these ideas originated with me, but many did not. Many came to us through our residents or city council members or so forth. But the opportunity to preserve our night sky was an issue that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And the council then determined that was a worthwhile thing to do, that tourism, at that point in time, this is a long time ago, but ecotourism was becoming a thing, and night sky appreciation, night sky, there was actually an international, you know, dark sky commission, and we didn't actually achieve designation,
mm-hmm.
but we put in place a lot of principles that really mute the lighting. Then beyond that, as you drive into Ivins, you realize you've come into a different place now, because the way we've done our setbacks on development and our streetscaping, mm-hmm. bollard lighting on our trails, and a lot of different things have sort of elevated the image of the city. Beyond that, we had things that simply needed to be done to spruce up the place.
Mm-hmm.
Our historic township didn't have, I mean, it had old chip seal roads,
right.
with dirt shoulders, and every time it rained hard, you know, we had a pile of mud down on Center Street that took days to, and so we figured out a way to get that project done, and it wasn't long after that other things started to happen, I think at least in part as a result of us trying to put on a better face, if you want to call it that.
Right.
We were successful in getting the veterans home to come into Ivins.
I love that.
They had lots of other, you know, cities that were courting them. Then astonishingly, we have a medical school show up on our doorstep, right?
That's fantastic.
And a lot of really wonderful things have happened that may or may not have happened had we not really aggressively tried to kind of improve our image.
Exactly. And I also love that you have sports, too. There's soccer for the kids. Like, my son is in Santa Clara, and we come to Ivins to play soccer because we don't have that in Santa Clara. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've touched on a really important thing. I, myself, as mayor, haven't accomplished a single thing by myself.
No, you haven't.
It takes a tremendous, dedicated staff. It takes really forward-thinking city council members, because they're the ones who ultimately make the decisions. And so to be able to capture the vision, somehow get that embodied in code,
mm-hmm.
and then adopt the kinds of things that really do make a difference. I mean, you said you hate roundabouts. We made a conscious decision a long time ago that we were going to be a roundabout city, no traffic signals. For one thing, roundabouts are both safer and more efficient than traffic signals. So
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So, and that's why you pointed out our most recent artwork, and
mm-hmm.
and that is actually a part of our general plan, that we are going to develop art within our roundabouts and have sort of a driving tour. You know,
it is nice. The problem with me is I don't like to slow down, and I'm really lucky at green lights. So I really just kind of cruise through my life.
You're rare. I'm not lucky at green lights. But once again, there's no question that they're more efficient in getting mm-hmm. traffic through. We don't wait as long at a roundabout typically. Now, they can be overwhelmed, but in a small city like ours, that will not be the case.
No, it's nice, and I just am not a fan of them.
You're a green light girl. Okay,
I got you. I just keep going. So the arts has played a big role, because you guys have those different features. Do you just have different artists and you trade out the art, or how are you guys working that?
A variety of art-related programs. I mean, Ivins, when I got there, was already becoming an arts community. Kayenta was developing, and Terry Martin, the developer there, had developed this beautiful little art village. So we had mm-hmm. galleries in town that people came from all over the county and beyond to come and visit. And we had artists living, well, once again, you look at that majestic backdrop, and you can see why somebody want to live there and get up in the morning and paint it.
I know, it's beautiful.
Or take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it became apparent that we needed to, as a city, kind of become more directly involved in promoting the arts. And so we created an arts master plan that became part of our general city master plan, and created an arts commission that has functioned incredibly well, and both promoted the arts and provided information and suggestions to the city council as to how we could spend the arts portion of our RAP tax that we receive every year on really worthwhile public arts projects. So, and that's broadened into a whole lot of different things. We're now participating in an arts on loan program. So some of the art that you see both inside City Hall and as you drive through the city, those are pieces that were graciously provided by an artist for a year to remain there. The Whitaker wind sculptures that you referred to there on Highway 91, as soon as they went in, I said to myself, those can't go away. They have to stay. Well, there was he's a wonderful guy, and he discounted those things over 25% to us if we decided to purchase them. But our residents in a survey that we took a couple of years ago said they really didn't want general fund money going towards purchasing art. That's a reasonable point of view, right? Should take care of the pipes and in the ground and whatnot. So what happened is the Arts Commission said, okay, we're going to partner up with a wonderful service organization within our city and go to the residents and see if they feel like the mayor does that we need to buy that thing. And as I understand it, they're very, very close to having raised the funds necessary for that to become a permanent fixture.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I went up to Springdale and I saw all of those wind sculptures.
Yes.
And I saw some small ones. I'm like, maybe I could just buy a small one and put it in my,
I'm sure
my yard.
They're captivating, right?
They are.
And you get a little wind going. And that's, it's not exactly the entrance to the city on the west side.
Mm-mm.
But it's when you start getting into the more developed areas, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really beautiful, welcoming feature there.
It's really my favorite. It's really my favorite. So we were talking earlier before we came on air about the city manager, Ms. Gubler, and that she's going to be retiring. Is that what you were saying?
Well, she retired some years ago and was replaced by our then city attorney, Dale Coulomb, who served for the last 13 years. Dale was an outstanding city manager, and he left a big hole to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So when he announced his retirement, the city council kind of went into high gear because it's such an important position in a city. I mean, I serve as a weak mayor. I'm kind of part time. I'm supposed to be part time. Some days
that
it
is.
Feels like it's not, but.
Mm-hmm.
But the city manager is there with overseeing all of the day-to-day activities of the city, and he's the one responsible for the hiring. You know, the staff that we have there in the city is responsible to those last couple of the city managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw that as a hugely important position to fill. So we have a couple of council members whose backgrounds are in large scale business and had a lot of experience on the hiring side of things. So they got with Char Rain, our HR person, and we put it out there that we're looking for a city manager. We had 51
wow.
51 applications come in and had to somehow take that down to one person. So we went through a lengthy process, lots of interviewing and so forth, and at the end of the day, we ended up hiring from inside the building.
Really?
Chuck Gillette, who has been our public works director and city engineer for some version of that for nigh on 20 years now, had applied for that position and ended up being the successful candidate. So Chuck is moving across the hall now from his his public works office into the city manager's office.
That is amazing. Okay, so I want to talk more about the leadership within city council and how that is working for you guys. But right now we got to pay some bills, as Andy would say, so we will be right back. Hello, welcome back. This is Mello with you on the Andy Griffin Show, and I have with me Mayor Chris Hart, and we are talking about all things Ivan City. Thank you so much for being here, Mayor Hart.
You're welcome.
So we were talking about before the break about leadership and about how leadership is changing. You're getting a new city manager. We're going to be getting a new mayor in Ivan's too. So leadership isn't as easy as everybody thinks. It's not always easy to be the one in charge. So how do you handle disagreements, if you have any, within the community, if the community is mad at something or if city council is mad about something? How do you handle that?
Well, I learned a long time ago that how important figuring out ways to communicate with both our residents and staff and so forth is. We've had huge issues, not just in Ivan's, but in the county, about water and development and those kinds of things, and then our own little specialized issues within the city. So a number of years ago, in an effort to try and get accurate information out there, because as you know, it's not always accurate online, I started what we call talkabouts in Ivan's, and with the help of Rocky Vista University allowing us to come in and use their auditorium classrooms that seat 250 people. We've had several of those touching on critical issues within the city, where we bring in experts in the area to give some brief presentations, and then turn it over to our residents to ask questions. And those have been hugely important. I write a newsletter article every month on some current point of interest or an issue. And that gets to a lot of people, those who are willing to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we try to make sure that we're required by law, for example, if we're going to pass an ordinance, to go through the public hearing process. And that is kind of intimidating to a lot of folks. They shy away from coming to a meeting like that and standing up at the podium formally, knowing they're being recorded and watched and so forth. So we try to have casual kinds of town hall sorts of situations, mm-hmm. so that people can voice their concerns. And what has happened is we have a very, very active community. That when, for example, the district announced that they intended to build a reservoir kind of in the south end of Kayenta, there were a lot of concerns about that. And we literally had some of our residents organize into an organization to develop information. And they came and presented the council with a binder that was an inch and a half thick with data that they'd accumulated and so forth. And our council listened intently to all mm-hmm. of that, and even knowing that we have a serious water issue there on the west side of the county, you know, how in the world are we going to provide water to the next 10,000 people that are going to come into the community? And so, but the district, knowing that there was such a sensitivity about it, has kind of put that reservoir on hold, maybe permanently.
Mm.
And that was largely due to the interaction that we had with residents of our community. So beyond that, my email box, inbox has always got emails from residents who know that they can contact me on anything, and that I will read, I will listen and respond. I dare say that if I were to outline what I believe are the three most important things
mm-hmm.
that I as a mayor needed to do, and that Kevin
mm-hmm.
Will need to do.
Okay, advice for Kevin. Listen, Kevin.
Well, I would say that number one, a leader, an elected leader in a community, needs to genuinely love the people of his community. Now, that's not always easy, right? Just like mm-hmm. it's not always easy to love your kids, you know, if they're yelling at you.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they're teenagers.
But you need to genuinely love and respect the people who live in your community. And the second thing is to listen, and not just hear, but listen and try to understand the various points of view that exist within your city, because people think about things and they have their reasons for believing what they do and having and taking a position. And the third thing I believe is that for the mayor in particular, mm-hmm. because the mayor chairs the city council meetings where all the decisions, the important decisions, are made. And I dare say that trying to find common ground is the mayor's charge. And to the extent that you're successful in those areas, all of the peripheral stuff, you know, the actual responding to a confrontational email, mm-hmm. or having it's difficult in this day and age to combat opinions that get out there in social media and so forth that are completely wrong and not grounded in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real challenge these days to try and keep people accurately informed. There are people who are suspicious of anything the government does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some who don't like the position that I may take or that a council member may take. And so really, honestly, trying to keep a level of respect, appreciation for the fact that everybody has a point of view that is grounded in something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
So digest all that, figure out what it all means, and then try and find a common spot where we don't hurt a lot of people and that benefits the majority of our residents.
Yeah, and I like what you said, kind of getting ahead of the narrative, because if you can actually respect and respond to people that are asking you things, then they're not going to go blast it on some social media format because they've already gotten their answer and they're not as frustrated. So staying ahead of that is really key. So I really like that you said that. One thing that I really love about Ivins is Fire Lake. That is such a beautiful place. Even when it didn't have all of the amenities like the bathroom and all of the sand, it was still really cool. Like, you guys have made it like somewhere to go, like a place to go and hang out with your family, and it's so nice.
Well,
the
history of Fire Lake goes back quite a long ways. There was an agreement that was established, I want to say 15 years ago or more, with the Water Conservancy District, who manages Ivins Reservoir, the Shivwitz Band, and Ivins City,
mm-hmm.
that was going to be developed into a recreational area, but nothing ever happened. So if there is a success that I could claim, it's that I've paid attention to things that were intended to be done that maybe have sat on the back burner for a long time.
Mm.
That's the case with Fire Lake. So I ended up going to the district and saying, Ivins City would like to work with you to make this into a real amenity for the community and beyond for mm-hmm. the county. So we agreed to muck out that little, it was kind of like a wart on somebody's nose, that little that's now the swimming area.
Yes.
It was almost separated from the reservoir by a sandbar already, so we convinced the district to make an actual separation there, so that swimming, that 4-acre swimming hole,
mm-hmm.
could have water in it all year long, even if the reservoir was drawn down with irrigation through the summer and so forth. And so they did that, and we mucked out thousands of cubic yards of clay, you know, mm-hmm. mucky, the stuff that was around the original reservoir. And the Shivwitz Band provided this beautiful sand that we hauled in. And it's a beach around there, right?
It is like a beach. It's amazing.
Well, it's a man-made beach, I'll just tell mm-hmm. you that. And there was a lot of money that went into doing that. And then, of course, the parking lot and eventually the bathrooms and the grass area now with the picnic tables. And, yeah, it's, I mean, my grandkids come from Washington still all the time to go over to Fire Lake. And I love to go out there. I mean, you're not going to get me on a little paddleboard or anything anymore, but I watch my grandkids float around on these little mini kayaks and so forth. And it's a, I'm really, really proud of that and so glad we've got that in place.
Exactly. It's awesome. And so I noticed next to it, because there's parking there, and it's pretty, there's quite a bit of parking there. And then I noticed just to the side of it, there's parking that's paid parking, and that's Shivwitz. What is that part? Is that access to Fire Lake?
Well, a part,
overflow?
Part of Ivan's Reservoir actually sits on the reservation. I don't know if you knew. If you look at a map and you see Ivan's boundary, it sort of clips off the west side of the reservoir. So the Shivwitz Band are definitely participants in what goes on there. And I think they saw the parking lot that went in and the demand for access to that beautiful swimming area and saw an opportunity to maybe capitalize on the overflow parking, and they built that big lot.
Yeah.
It's funny. You may not have gotten out there when this happened, but shortly after they completed that lot, and I don't know if this was part of why they did it, but Kevin Costner comes in with his, I mean, vans and trucks. They did some filming out there on the reservation and literally filled that parking lot up. And I, as I understand it, they're coming back a couple of more times to do the same thing. So,
Oh, so it's for Kevin Costner that they're
maybe they did that for Kevin.
Okay, we've got one more break and then we'll be right back with Mayor Chris Hart. Hello, you are here on the Andy Griffin Show. This is Mello, and I am lucky enough to be here with Mayor Hart, the mayor of Ivan. And we were discussing a lot of things about his tenure. He is going to be retiring as the mayor. Is that right, Mayor Hart?
This is it for me.
This is it. Final showdown. So you've done a great job as the mayor, and I love all the things that have been going on since you've been the mayor, the change you've made. And I understand that you were also a developer.
Yes.
And that kind of maybe segued you into becoming into like the city council and the leadership of that, so you could maybe have a little bit of a say, because it's hard to be a developer, isn't it?
Well, I mentioned earlier that when we drove into town with our broker coming down through Snow Canyon, that it literally was love at first sight. I told him, don't bother to take me anyplace else. I want to build my homes here. I want to live here. And so we were fortunate enough to acquire land there and develop it. So the first project that we took in to the Planning Commission was chaired by a retired Marine colonel named Colin Harrison, wonderful guy. But boy, did he run a stern ship. And I remember going in there, and without him saying it, it was basically, hey, stranger, you are not going to come in here and ruin our city. So I remember, I'm sure completely without legal precedent, I remember hauling a pickup load of roof tile samples and stucco samples and samples of stone and so forth for the exteriors for him and the Planning Commission to look at and approve, because they were, they realized what a special place Ivan's was. And they wanted to preserve that. And whether the ordinances said you can do this or not, they were insistent. So instead of going home, calling my attorney and saying, hey, we've got a city here that, that doesn't have ordinances that are justifying what we're being called upon to do, I remember walking out on the land that we'd acquired and looking at that mountain and having this feeling come over me that this is a precious, special place. And what you need to do, Chris Hart, as a developer, is to do something that that works with all of this beautiful natural backdrop. You need to be sensitive to how special this place is, and do everything you can to beautify it, not not degrade it. And so I found that I developed a love for the city, and more than the a love for my own projects even. And so we sort of acquiesced to some things. And ironically, we ended up with a better project probably more valuable project as a result of that. And so we were fortunate to develop a lot of that property that, you see as you drive up to Tuacan.
Nice.
And I think we tried very hard to develop that in a way that was respectful of the city.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So I think that's so great that you kind of got involved and you didn't like come in with your attorneys full force. You like kind of met them where they were at and then you just smoothed it over and you're like, we can work together. We can make a beautiful project together. And I think that's great.
Well, and I would recommend that to every developer out there because every city has its special things, things that are important to the residents that, live there and, the history of the place. And it worked very well for us. Certainly if you're coming to our city, now we've managed to get all that in code, right?
Ordinances. Yes, it's written down now.
So pay attention. We still intend to keep that a special place and not let somebody come in and ruin it.
Exactly. So what are you going to miss most about being mayor?
Oh, the interaction with these wonderful people that we have on staff, working with council members to try and guide the city forward, the interaction with our residents. I've loved being able to get to know so many people in the city and service, as you know, service is a special thing. The rewards that come to you as an individual providing some form of service outweigh that which you actually hand off to somebody else.
Exactly. So on the other side of that, what are you not going to miss about being the mayor?
There's really not much that I'm going to miss. It's been such a wonderfully positive experience for me. I mean, even the nasty grams that you get sometimes that come from a place of anger that usually have some point to make that if you pay attention, you know, you can help you in your thinking about the future.
Okay, well that's positive. I think I would not miss writing a newsletter every month. I think that would be something I didn't miss.
Well, at the end of 16 years, that translates into what what's 12 times that?
I don't do math.
It's
my
a lot of them. It's funny you bring that up. I do reach a point where I get a week away from the due date on that, and it's like, holy smoke, what am I going to write about? But you know what? There's always something going on and something important going on. So it's actually been kind of a joy to do that, too.
That's good. Okay. So what's next for you? What are you leaving this mayor job to do? Are you going to just retire, or what are you
doing? Well, I mean, I'm hitting 77 this year, so I'm up there a ways.
Looking good, though.
And, well, thank you. And Mayor, my wonderful wife Sandy, has supported me through this all these 20 plus years in service to the city. But we've had a dream together of going out and serving together, and she's the opposite of me. She shies away from you know the public figure sort of thing. So this has been sort of a me thing all these years, and it's time for Sandy and I to do a wee thing. And
I love that. That's super, super sweet of you. So if people are going to remember your time as mayor in one sentence, I should have told you this on the break so you could think about it. What would that be? One sentence to remember Chris Hart, the mayor.
Chris Hart, the mayor, loved his community and tried his very best to serve it.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here today. It's really been an honor and a joy to talk to you. And thank you so much for being on the Andy Griffin Show with us today. Andy will be back tomorrow and have a beautiful, beautiful day.